The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. Now, Trish is on her way in, and for the first time in history, Trish is going to be late. Perhaps, perhaps in our chat room we should make little comments. And we can read them to Trish when she comes in. If I have the chat room open. You have the chat room open?
I have it open.
Okay. Could you type on there that mirror? Oh, I do have
you,
it open.
You already said that.
Whoa, I was kind of like, it was a little, it, first of all, I had brain freeze because I had to walk a half a block to get in here. It was less than 50 yards, but it seemed really cold. Anyway, good morning, everybody. The time is 7:06. It is the 23rd of February. It's Thursday. And, the news is always brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Community compassion and competence. I think I ought to add another C to it. Competence there. Healing starts here at Shasta Regional Medical Center. And Liam, do you want me to do the weather or are you ready?
I mean, I can do it, but if you're eager to do it.
We got a
high of 45 today, a low of 32 tonight. We do have a wind advisory and a winter storm warning today through Friday. So there is snow in the forecast today, tonight, and tomorrow.
I was expecting to wake up this morning.
I was as well.
With maybe a light dusting of snow,
but at least
rain.
Yeah.
Got my hopes up.
But if it snows, who knows?
Before 10 a.m. That's what it says.
Yeah.
A chance of snow showers.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like it. Or maybe it does. Okay.
To me. Anyways, moving on, Friday night we're going to have a low of 29, and we're going to be in really the mid to low, mid-40s throughout the rest of the week. So, yeah. Rain Sunday through, moving on.
Through Sunday?
Sunday through Wednesday.
Okay. Sunday through Wednesday. Let's just hope it materializes with the snow and the rain.
The groundhog did see a shadow, so it's kind of making sense.
Poxitani Phil. Okay.
And the weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane.
There you go.
Trish is here.
Yeah.
Trish is here.
Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. That's what happened when you turn your alarm off after it goes on.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You're great. But you always come in here like you stepped out ready to go to the White House for dinner with the Bidens.
Wow. That wouldn't happen, but.
It would. I would.
Oh, no.
Oh, I would in a heartbeat. I'd go to dinner with them.
Oh, I would.
As long as it'd be a more intimate dinner where I could ask questions. Oh, no. I would. Oh, just like I would welcome the chance to go to a dinner with the Bidens in a heartbeat. I'd even pay my way there.
And if you could actually talk to them and sit with them and ask questions.
Like, we're down in the kitchen. I'm sure they have.
Yeah.
You know, not everything's a state dinner, right? So they've got a little dining room. It'd be Joe and Dr. Biden and me and Linda. And we'd sit around the table, have pot roast, and I could ask questions.
I think you're the one that turned off your alarm.
Mr. President.
Yeah.
How do you really feel? I mean, just, is it all there? And he would tell me if he understood the question.
Yeah. Yeah.
His newest thing is the, what's it called? I've been reading it, and I just, every sentence I read, I just go, whoa. It's kind of like California, though. The goal of fair housing is this new, you know, they're adding on to the Fair Housing Act of 1968. And you know how we have in California that the state said any land you declare surplus will be the first shot at it will be low-income housing. And then in communities, how the state of California is saying you will build this, and it takes away the rights of the citizens
right.
of that community who have lived there, you know, whatever.
We have a housing.
He's doing the same thing in the for the goal of fair housing. Anybody that takes HUD money, 1,200 cities and towns across the nation, you will provide this. So it takes away the rights, you know, it takes away permitting, it takes away choice of school districts, I mean, everything. So another little overreach.
Well, and unfortunately, you know, we've all had to adopt housing plans, and they each one within each community must have a certain share of all kinds of property. And low-income housing,
course.
Affordable housing have to be included in all of those. We've had those arguments in some of our communities around in Shasta County, because some communities really, really are designed and want to stay with large lot development and really don't want a bunch of apartments or smaller lots or those kind of things. So it's been...
Look at Palisades.
Palisades is a perfect
now,
example.
Now, the other one was out there off of Oasis with that 166 home subdivision that they fought to a standstill, and the planning commission, the sheriff, the board all agreed that having 166 new homes out there would put a huge, huge problem on the water district,
mm-hmm.
fire prevention, all those things. And that was fought to a standstill. And I think what's going on in Palisades, I think they've won theirs. But I'm not sure it's going to come back. Chris Kellstrom said it's coming back again. He said, I thought that thing had been laid to rest.
Well, and of course, the problem is at some point, the state will, in fact, just step in and say, hey, like they did with the areas that we had.
Wind Project.
Well, that one. But also, we had all kinds of property designated where you couldn't put mobile homes. You just couldn't put them there. And eventually, the state stepped in and said, yeah, you can. And we were able to, in Shasta County, we were able to put some qualifiers on that they had to be at least, they couldn't be older than 10 years old at the time. And we tried to put in some protections. But, you know, in an area where you've gone out and built million-dollar homes and they're on large lots, and then all of a sudden the guy buys the property next door to you and puts up an old mobile home, that bothers you, you know?
Well, okay, but let's just... As you drive out to an area where there's several expensive homes, you know you're going to pass a house. People have lived there a long time. There's three cars out front in various stages of disrepair. You see that all the way through Shasta County.
Absolutely.
I mean, you go down to Riverview, not Riverview, but one of these places along the river where there's like 15 houses along the river that, I mean, those are million-dollar houses now or close to them. But when you're getting to it, you're passing through some lower-income houses. So, I mean, you're used to that. But there should be – but it doesn't mean we give up on it. It means like, okay, if you're going to put a mobile home there – we're not talking manufactured homes now. That's different.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Okay.
Now this is, we had areas that were zoned where you could not put mobile homes.
Yeah.
And then the state came in and said, yep, nope, can't do that. Well, can't stop them. We were able to put in some, you know, can't be older than 10 years old, has to be on a permanent foundation.
Yeah.
I don't remember all of the things that we put in to try to protect the local areas.
Well,
but go along with the state mandate.
You're talking about like a single wide mobile home? Like that.
Yeah. Well, and I don't remember all the restrictions we were able to put. Can't be older than 10 years old, I remember at the time.
Yeah. Must be on a foundation.
Must be on a foundation, yada, yada. But the state came in and said,
you can just
put them wherever.
Wherever you want. We're still seeing that in areas, and not in every case.
Not in every case. And the other thing that they've done that wasn't allowed was we always have single family housing. That was throughout the county. And I know those restrictions now, and I haven't paid close attention, but they're way diminished.
Now you can put the ADUs in. And in fact, the state has made it so much easier to have an ADU.
Yeah.
Now, frankly, an accessory dwelling unit. I thought, well, if it's on your property, you're taking care of it. That's not a big thing to me.
Well, and I thought really hard when I was on the board to allow for granny housing.
Yeah.
I mean, because to me, that made a lot of sense to be able to have that smaller home. And we made like good restrictions on it.
Yeah,
well, but that's a really good use of land.
Well, we're looking at that now is if Linda's parents ever slow down, and I haven't figured out if they ever will, he's probably going to be pushing me in my wheelchair, you know, 15, 20 years from now. But having another dwelling on a property makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In some instances. Discretion. Look at each case individually. Wouldn't that be great?
You mean
common sense.
Common sense. That's where I was going.
Does it make sense?
Hey, B&T Satellite brings us this segment. Redding's Dish Premier local retailer providing our area with the best value, services, and technology in TV for over 30 years. Don't call the 800 number. Call your local Dish retailer, Doug Cooley, at 530-241-3474. He's got a lot of great deals down there. You're going to save money. You're going to be spending your money here in town, and he knows what he's doing. B&T Satellite, a better-known business, 530-241-3474. We'll be right back.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Jazzercise Redding Fitness Center would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting small businesses in our community. With this grant, we were able to keep going so we could keep moving.
Pathways to Hope for Children would love to thank the Redding Rancheria. They've been involved with Camp Hope since 2012. Thank you from Pathways to Hope for Children to the Rancheria for all you do.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
ShastaBeam is happy to announce that we have finally added 10 gigabits of new bandwidth services for our North State customers. Hi folks, this is Andy Main from ShastaBeam Wireless Internet bringing you news about our upgraded internet services. It took some time, but these new higher speeds mean you can work, study, and stream at home without the problems of slow internet. And these redundant services are faster, more reliable, and fulfilling our promise to deliver better internet every day. And right now, new customers get installed for free. That's right. Free installation services mean you can try it for free, and if you're not satisfied, you don't pay. That's a savings of over $700 compared to some of our competitors' startup costs. And there are no data caps or long-term contracts. All of our services come with a 14-day money-back guarantee. Call ShastaBeam today and ask for our free installation services. This is Andy Main, thanking you for your business, and don't worry, we'll keep the internet on for you.
Don't miss the Lance Michael Cornwell Band at Wind River Resort and Casino on Saturday, March 11th. Lance Michael Cornwell is a high-energy country band from Northern California that plays your favorite 90s country music with a modern rock twist. Bring your dancing shoes and join us in the Wind River Event Center for a night you won't forget. For tickets or complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN.
Must be 21 to attend this event.
Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hopper takes over your commercial, the hop with the hop. Where's the app for the people and the music is the students with the hop. All the cats and chicks can get their kids with the hop. Let's go!
Thank you for calling B&T Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only Dish Premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
When Black Bear Diner first opened, they filled the largest platters they could find. Not much has changed. Their legacy of huge portions continues today, and they just introduced new diner deals. 6 new dinner combos and new homestyle side choices. Baby back ribs and tri-tip, chicken strips and tri-tip, chicken Alfredo, chicken and pesto, ribs and shrimp, and cod and shrimp. There is always plenty for your paws at Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive or order online at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
I'm Tracy Edwards.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bach. Good morning. Hey, Mayor Michael DeQuisto is going to be on this morning.
And what are we talking about with Mayor?
Well, I think one of the things that we want to talk about is this parking.
That'd be good.
But I don't think Mike was for this parking thing. So it'll be interesting to hear the kind of feedback he's getting because, you can use the app on your telephone. Well, no, not at least you couldn't just a couple days ago out, you can on the street, but not in these other parking lots. They're not working, So you got people that, like the parking lot directly behind us, which it's a nice, big, convenient parking lot. Always park there free, or my people park there free, and it's not that far.
The parking lot right behind you?
Right. Not behind the building. That's private. Even though people park here, it's the bigger one next to right, just across the alley.
Right.
Well, you have to pay for that now, but the app doesn't work. So now after you park your car, you got to go all the way over there, and go through the whole thing. So my people said, let me get an app. I'll get the app so I don't have to walk across the parking lot. I can just, do it from here. Well, hopefully they'll get that fixed anyway.
Okay, so, yeah, I got to go through that whole process because I haven't figured. Well, I haven't tried to park any place in Reading since that started.
So, we have one
right in front, but I do that between 7 and 9, and they don't start ticketing until after 9.
You sure? I think it's 9. Anyway, I tried it out, and I just said, what if I only want to be in here for 15 minutes? Like, I'm delivering something. So I went in there, and I put a quarter in it, and it wants my license of my car number. So I just used the car that was right there in front of me, and put that in there, and it said, ding, okay, that's a registered, license. And then it gave me 15 minutes. So I asked for a receipt, and it wouldn't give me a receipt. It wasn't set up for that yet. But that was before, it all kicked off officially.
So that was the car in front of you, though, so you weren't...
No, I didn't park it. I just wanted to see how it worked. If I could do... If I put a quarter in, how much time do I get? And would it accept a quarter? And it did. It gave me, 15 minutes.
Now, are there meters on the street now?
No, but it's... The machine is right there. If it's right outside,
the
front door. You've walked past it. You probably just didn't notice it.
Well, I realized it was there. But here's what happened. Yesterday, I was on Court Street, and I was looking to see where the box was for all these people, and I had a hard time. The only box I could find was actually across the street.
Now on Court Street, right in front of the courthouse, I think you get 2-hour parking there. In front of the courthouse. And I don't think you have to pay.
My studio's over there. You have to pay for it.
You do have to pay for it?
I guess you have to pay for everything.
It's ridiculous.
Now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm going to ask Mike today is one of my employees said to me, when I came to work here or when I come to work, my pay is cut $1 an hour now.
Yeah.
And I'm like... Because if she can't park right behind the station, and miraculously, or a miracle, it's filled up all the time. So she parks in that parking lot. So it cost her, she's here for 2 hours, it cost her $2.
Yeah. So
that's $1 an hour out of her pay.
Yeah.
And that's all the way across the city. So you've got city and county employees that have to come and they're here for 8 hours. It's costing them, 8 hours? It will cost them $8 a day, and it comes out to something like, $2,000 a year or something like that.
This has been the norm for, as long as I can remember in the city. You go to Sacramento, you go any place, you have to pay for parking.
Yeah.
I wasn't so surprised, or even, I think perhaps it's time. I don't, the way they did it, going from 20 cents an hour to a dollar an hour was a bit dramatic. And to not leave any options, I think even parking meters would have, to go to this whole system, whether they like to believe it or not, there are still a lot of individuals who do not use cell phones. Yep. There are a lot of people who do not use apps. We're an older community. We have a lot of seniors in our community.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can still walk to it. I mean, you can still go up to it and put the money in. I mean, but the question is...
But it doesn't take bills. It only takes... So you can have a roll of quarters with you. No, somebody told me it didn't take dollar bills.
Well,
I don't know that.
Well, if we go outside, we can take a look.
Yeah.
Liam, when we go to break, I'm going to walk out there and check that. Okay. So I'll go out there in the 32-degree weather.
Ugh. It's cold.
It's disgusting.
33. Okay. But as bad as it, you know, as we feel like it is here, come on. We are a bunch of, when it gets right down to it, we're a bunch of sissies.
Yeah,
we're wuss. Because you look at what's happening in the rest of the country.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, let me see. Slamming the northern plains and Midwest, triggering major power outages, flight cancellations, and road closures. More than 900,000 customers were without power in six states Thursday.
What's it doing in Chicago?
I don't know, but in Michigan, 670,000 people don't have power. Now, we don't have power in a couple spots in Reading, but that, you know, they got that back up last night at 11. I think it was whatever it was caused by. I'm not sure, but they got it back up. For the first time in 34 years, the National Weather Service issued a blizzard warning for Southern California mountains through Saturday.
Wow.
Some coastal areas could see 10-foot waves through Thursday. Nearly the entire population of California will be able to see snow from some vantage point later this week, if they look in the right direction. Yeah. So if you're looking toward the ocean, just kind of casually turn halfway around so you're facing inland, and you may see the snow-capped mountains.
Yes.
But, you know, we have a lot of people just look at the ocean and go, I don't see any snow. That's Southern California.
There you go. I will say that I'm really hoping that we can just get a lot of rain out of this, that the snow kind of stays where the snow belongs and we're used to it. There was so much damage from what we refer to as Snowmageddon a few years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm really not looking forward to digging out again if that happens. I don't know. I guess I want too much.
Heavy rainfall, in addition to heavy snow, is forecasted to impact California, including Southern California. Thursday and Friday, like I said, the meteorologist said the heavy snowfall threatening the West will become more centered over California as a new storm system developing just off the West Coast drops south and begins to edge into the Southwest for the end of the week. Freezing rain, that's up in the upper Midwest and all this. So we could have you can tell when we're going to have rain. It's after all the arenas dry out, and you can get the horse out. Then it hits again. So luckily we have a covered arena.
Do you know, I was just noticing, though, the backyards around me, a lot of them have fruit trees, and they're all blossomed out.
Oh, it's gone.
It just kind of makes me sad, that we can't time things out the way they should be. I didn't make the mistake this year, however, of trimming my citrus when we got that nice spell.
We did.
I did last year, and dadgummit, then when we got this frost that we're going to get here in the next few days, it got all the new growth. Now it's got all that stuff that should be trimmed off, and that's going to get frosted really good and going to leave the rest of my tree alone.
When did you trim your tree? Because ours was just done.
Citrus? Not till after the last chance of freeze. No.
Well, we may not have all the peach jam that we make this year, that sounds like. Hey, we got to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to turn Trish loose with her favorite, what's really grating on you this week? Because you've been kind of, yeah, you know, calm today and all that. But we'll get you some coffee and you'll be okay. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. It is a community bank. It's been around 15 years, which was a surprise to me when I went down to the 15th birthday. And so it's been, I guess, about 16 now. But they've been moving local dreams forward since the day they opened. We use Cornerstone Community Bank. I'm very, very happy with it. We just got our new cards. They've all got the chips in them now, so you don't have to go through the swipe and guess. They have four branches, one in Red Bluff, two right here in town, and the newest one down in Anderson. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We'll be right back.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price of the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Here in the the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bach. 23rd of February, 7:34 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive. Local. Okay. Buy local, stay local. It's locally owned. Been around for about 30 years. The only full-service jewelry store in Reading.
And I have actually two rings on today that I purchased at.
There you go.
Four Winds Jewelry.
Outstanding selection of jewelry. Very fair prices. Four Winds Jewelry. Okay. Anything torquing your jaws?
You know,
as we used to say in the Marine Corps.
You know, here's the deal. I have been so calm. I made up my mind after the last election that
What meds are you on?
There you go. I was going to try and not get absolutely overwhelmed by all of the nonsense that you can't do anything about and try to concentrate on some of the stuff that you can really make a difference with. And so I don't watch a lot of news, and that's not changed much. I don't watch any of the network news because I can't stand to be lied to on a regular basis. And it makes me angry, and I don't like to be in an angry mood. But I still will say, and I raved about this last week, actually, the gun bills really kind of get at me. I'm and now we're talking about it, of course, at the Board of Supervisors level. The whole Second Amendment thing to me is difficult. Because they just keep playing with it, and I don't understand what part of you just can't, that we have the right. We have the right. I'm not sure how you can explain that any further, and how you can take that right away in any manner without it, and still have it be constitutional. Now I know the courts have ruled we can do all kinds of things, and yeah, you have to take a test, you have to do that. I still, in my soul, believe that I have the right to carry a gun to protect myself without all their rules and regulations.
Well, there's been a number of states that are become constitutional carry, which means you don't have to go through any of that. Now, and this is just me, my friends. I'm strong advocate. I believe in open carry. For a while, I was thinking open carry. Then I look at the states I've been in with open carry, and it's not people get used to it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I really do believe that before you carry a firearm, that you need some training on safety, storage, and how to use the firearm you're carrying.
I totally concur, but you cannot legislate morality.
No,
you cannot legislate common sense.
Not that's true, but having a person go through an 8-hour class to learn this is just some of the things they could learn: how to safely use the firearm,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How to know safety rules when you're handling a firearm. The big thing is storage of a firearm. To keep people, like children and other, people that can have firearms away from it. But then how to use it safely in such a way that you can present the firearm without endangering yourself or other people.
But Carl, that
takes some training.
It does, Carl, but that used to come from living in a household with guns, and then you did that with your children. You took them out and you showed them, and you blew up a balloon and you blew up a watermelon
I'm sure in a lot of houses.
Well,
not as many, but
not as many, but when it was okay to be out and have guns with you, and it certainly wasn't Shasta County for most of the, Anderson High School, I've forgotten what day they had the trap club. But
they still have a trap club.
They do, but when my son was in high school, you could go up there on the day they had the trap club, and every pickup in the lot had a gun in it, had a rifle in it. And then they'd go to their guns, and they'd truck, and they'd get their gun and their ammunition, and they'd walk across campus and walk across the street and over to the gun range. They were all packing.
What?
And they're 16, 17, 18 years old. And nobody got shot.
No, but they were also trained on how to safely transport those shotguns
and all that. That's exactly right. But that's what I'm saying. So I concur with you, but
But once you start legislating, now here's where I'm in a quandary. And I'm using this from my own experience in the Marine Corps and training concealed carry for the last 14 years.
Right.
Then, if it was simply an 8-hour course that you go through for safety reasons, storage, and all this, I can understand that. Now, on the other hand, when you start adding things to it, then it becomes onerous. So I believe in safety, the safe handling of firearms, safe storage of them, safe transport,
absolutely,
all these things. And then I have no problem with an open carry. Now, there are constitutional carry states that you don't have to do any of that.
Right.
You can go and buy a gun and strap it to your hip. So how many problems have there been with that? And see, if there was a lot of problems,
you'd be hearing about them on a regular basis.
See, so that's where my quandary is. I'm thinking from a teacher and instructor and seeing people not handle firearms safely, in my opinion.
The basis of our legal system is that you're innocent until proven guilty. Most of our laws, unfortunately, assume that the entire population needs to be controlled instead of just those that are doing something wrong.
See,
and that's the problem.
And this is where I have all the problems with the California laws. We have 12,000 and growing people, numbers growing, for concealed carry in Shasta County.
Yeah.
That's a large percentage when you look at it. It's probably one of the top. I mean, we're in the top two.
Yeah.
And I would say, because I asked Sheriff Johnson about it and the chief, that people with concealed carry permits have never had an incident like that.
Not to my knowledge.
And if you lose your CCW, it's because of something like a DUI. You get a DUI. Even if you're not carrying, there's a good chance you're going to lose that concealed carry. So, you know, again, we go into the safe side of it. But when you start imposing, like, Carl, you can't carry a firearm that doesn't meet our qualifications, though it's sold in every other state in the union, or you can only carry a magazine with 10 rounds. I said, what difference does that make? Well, you have to reload. You know how long it takes to reload a pistol?
And here's the other problem with it. As you indicate, they keep getting more onerous, more onerous, more onerous. My concealed weapons permit used to have 5 guns on it.
Yeah,
because I might have any one of those 5 guns with me at any given time. Now, in order to have those 5 guns on my concealed weapons permit, I have to qualify with all 5 of them. Okay, one of those that I have is a little two-shot Derringer. I'm not going to hit that target at how far, what is it, 20 feet or whatever it is?
It's 21 feet.
There's no way in hell, that I am going to hit that target with that little Derringer in the center. It's not happening.
That's your pistol of last resort.
Exactly, but that's the one I'm pretty likely to have in my purse at any given time. I mean, if that's what the one I carried the most when it was on
You'd be surprised the types of firearms that come through a course. These little 22s that you have to take the cylinder out to reload it and put it back in, people have qualified.
Well, that 38, I know I've tried it. There's no way. I can't do it. But from here to where I'm going to be shooting it, I'm going to guarantee you I'm not going to miss.
I just had a class and one guy had 3 pistols. His hands shake. He's got a laser on it. But when he pointed it downrange, it was like a light show. I mean, the laser was going everywhere. So I taught him a different way to shoot. And he qualified 2 of the 3 guns. And frankly, we ran out of time. I would have run him through it 2 or 3 more times, but we ran out of time on the range. He says, well, if I was going to shoot, I'd put it on a rest. Well, there's not always a rest around, partner. But I showed him hasty rest that he could use using his arm and things like this. But he qualified in 2. So he does now. He can be, he can protect himself. So anyway,
I think everybody should be able to
protect himself.
Well, I get really uptight about those gun laws, and I'm going to watch the board meeting. I didn't watch it, but I would like to listen to the discussion that they had about that Second Amendment thing.
Well, we had Patrick Jones on Tuesday before the vote.
And then we had Chris on yesterday, but I missed the part of it when he talked about what
I think it was a surprise that Kevin Cry, we got to take a break here, that Kevin Cry said, I'm going to abstain on this. And Patrick Jones said, this is a yes or no vote. And he goes, nope.
You're paid to make decisions.
Paid to make decisions. I want my lawyer to look at it to see if I'm being held open to any personal liability on this if the Board of Supervisors passes this. I can kind of understand it because it's going to come back again. I think the big surprise was Tim Garmon. And Tim said, well, I will support the resolution the way it's written with Cruz's comments on it. But
that was part of the problem with me because I read the corrected.
Yeah, so did I.
Document. Yeah. I concur with part of the corrections he made, but I don't concur with all of it.
Well,
and I think the part the one line that he said something, I have forgotten what. But anyway, there was one part that I said, yeah, that's okay. The part where it said, write it exactly as the Constitution says it.
Right.
That I concur with. The rest of it, I don't.
Well, the Shasta Scout, which is an online newspaper, had a good article on it and had that rewritten one with the resolution.
In red. Yeah, I think that's where I read it.
Yeah, and that gives you that. If you want to know about what happens or what that resolution said, you can read that and see the original, and then you can see where Cruz made his modifications. So at least you're educated when you go in there. We've got to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash. Okay, today may not be the day to go down to Quick and Clean Car Wash.
Probably not.
Yeah, they may not. But
they may not even be open.
They may not even be open, as most car washes aren't. But when it's time again, this is the only place I go to get my car washed, is Quick and Clean Car Wash. Corner of Market and Eureka Way. It's next to Dutch Bros. First of all, I just sit in the car. It comes out, my truck, and it just comes out. I mean, just so sparkling clean. Looks brand new. And a person at the end wipes off the truck with a large, soft, clean towel so he gets all the water off it. And if you buy 5 car wash coupons, you can get 1 free, or buy 10 and get 3 free. Only a Quick and Clean Car Wash. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
On display now at Turtle Bay Museum, Honor, Courage, Commitment, Marine Corps Art, 1975 through 2018, featuring 36 art pieces created by Marine combat artists who documented their own experience in times of war and peace. This traveling museum exhibition is sponsored by the Marine Corps Heritage Foundation from the National Museum of the Marine Corps. Open now through April 30th. Honor, Courage, Commitment, Marine Corps Art at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Redding at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bob. 34 degrees out there here on February the 23rd, 7:51 in the morning. And Trish, I know what you said about, you know, I'm not even watching it because I can't do anything about it, and it's frustrating. I just got something from the registrar's office, and it was a survey. I take surveys here in town. I don't take national surveys because I just don't. But local ones I take, like Chamber of Commerce has, and others. The Economic Development Corporation has. A lot of it's about business and what you think's going to happen, you know, how do you feel. And this one was on the sanctity of elections in Shasta County. And it asked, do you feel like your vote's not going to be counted? And, you know, frankly, I think my vote is counted. But then it goes through a number of things, you know, do we have confidence in our county in the election process? And you can go from none to absolutely every time and all that. Like, I can't go none because I don't believe it. But I'm not sure it's perfect either, so I can't go there. So I've got to find some place in between. What it is I'm sure Kathy Garland Allen is going to say we took a survey and this, you know, percentage of people believe. So if you get one of those, you might want to fill it out. So it's just not one side or the other.
I encourage people to be involved in any legitimate survey. Unfortunately, most of the time, the questions they ask me, I get them on the phone. I actually have been called several times on, you know, census things, and they don't ask the right question. I can't give a yes or a no answer to a lot of the questions that they ask because it's absolutely, but it's just not, they don't phrase the questions in a manner that a yes or no answer will do. And I find it frustrating to do those things. I do take surveys.
Because a lot of them are yes or no answer, and it isn't a yes or no answer. No,
well, that's it. Yeah.
Do you agree with? Well, that is way too, I mean, and if it's a, you know, it's an issue that's got nuances to it or it covers a large area, how do you give a yes or no on that?
I mean, my answer usually is, well, that's just plain ridiculous. I mean, that's a ridiculous question. My mind's not functioning enough to say, I can't think of an example, darn it. But I know a lot of times I've hung up in the middle of surveys that they were doing because the questions are just ridiculous.
Yeah.
You get them all the time from the fundraising wings of all of the candidates, and they're asking, you know, what's the most important thing, blah, blah, blah. And my answer is usually other, because the things that they're listing are not things, number one, that they're going to actually address after they get elected, or they aren't things that are high on my list of issues that are important. There was a really interesting discussion yesterday, and I've forgotten who I was listening to, but they were talking about states' rights and the things that need to happen to make us go back to where we're actually operating. And they were saying, you know, what we need to do is we need to her quote was, we need to rewrite the Constitution so that the federal government doesn't have all that power. And I was reminded of how little people actually know about our Constitution.
Yeah.
If, in fact, we were to go back to operating under that very small document called our Constitution, the federal government wouldn't be doing 90% of what they're doing,
No. Education
being the biggest one.
Yeah.
I mean, I can go on and on with the things that the federal government is empowered to do and should be doing, and all the things they're doing they have no business in.
Well, I've always, you know, the Constitution, it's pretty clear that you defend our borders with an army, armed forces. You protect our borders, and you build infrastructure.
There you go.
That's pretty much it.
That's it. Anything that goes, that has an impact on more than one state as far as infrastructure or commerce or those kind of things.
Interstate commerce.
Are under the but the rest of it, simply the federal government needs to get out of it and stay out of it, specifically education.
Well, I mean, we
just need to do away with the Department of Education. All the money that is vested and spent in the federal system for education, if that money were to be back down to the state level and actually spent on educating our children instead of the bureaucracy that is creating all of the problems.
And that was formed, I think, under Carter, the Department of Education.
I think it was under Carter. Yeah. And it's just such an incredible
bureaucracy
so, and waste of time.
But then that money comes down, and California spends a lot of money on education, yet our test grades are still going down.
Yeah.
And COVID clobbered the school systems throughout the country.
It did, except that I would say that the only good thing that came out of COVID is the attention that the American people are paying to the education system. As far as I'm concerned, that was the only ray of sunshine out of the whole thing.
And I think the other thing, too, is the federal government is way too big. So where can you make it? Where can you make a difference? And it's in your local elections. School board elections, city council, board of supervisors. In California has turned into a one-party state. And I don't care if Brian Daly or Megan Daly walk on water. They're not going to get things through.
The impact that they have is minimal, for sure.
They understand that. So what they try to do is add things on the bills, things that make them a little more palatable, but they don't even have to. They can bring a bill up, and the Democrats at the last minute can gut that bill and put anything in there they want.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
I remember
at the last minute.
We had an assemblyman, Tom Woods. And when Tom was running, he was around here for a long time. He was on local radio, Christian radio. A very nice man, and I'm not even sure where Tom is now, but at any rate, he ran for the assembly, and at the time, I said, you're not going to do well, because he was literally, how can I say, he was too nice a guy. There was no way that he was going to be able to...
He wasn't going to be throwing elbows.
He wasn't going to be able to sign off on a bill that he had started that was about trimming trees. And when it came up and it's got his name on it and now it's about homeless people, he wouldn't be able to vote for it. So, I mean, I just knew that he was not going to be able to hold his nose and go through that process. Because you have to really swallow a lot to vote for a lot of pieces of legislation that literally are going to have pieces in them that really go against your grain. But if you want to accomplish anything, you need to learn the art of compromise. The system needs to be rewritten to the point where you need to keep the bills about one issue as opposed to bringing in all kinds of other things that pollute the air. He only served one term, as a matter of fact. He did a good job during that period. But
it also should be something to the effect, and we've got to take a break, that you get you know, an hour per page to read a bill. You know?
They quite often, the last day of the session, they take bills, they gut them completely.
And shove them through at midnight.
Boom, done. And they may have nothing to do with the original intent.
That's got nothing to do with the right way of doing things. They
absolutely
don't care.
Not.
Okay, we've got to take a break. When we come back, Reading Mayor Michael DeQuisto will join us.
Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. More American boots may soon hit the ground on Taiwan.
America is expected to deploy between 100 and 200 troops in the coming months. The Wall Street Journal reports that the new troops would expand a current training program as the U.S. works to help Taiwan defend itself. China considers Taiwan part of its territory, to be brought under its control by force if necessary, and has been stepping up its military and diplomatic harassment.
That's correspondent Ken Lorman. At 2.7%, the U.S. economy's expansion slowed the final 3 months of last year. Big coast-to-coast winter storm making travel tough, if not impossible, for millions of people from California to the Northeast. Snow in a lot of places, freezing rain and ice elsewhere. Close to a million utility customers without power as ice brings down the lines. Three people gunned down in Central Florida, a 9-year-old girl and a TV news reporter among the victims, and the suspect has a long rap sheet.
A reporter and a photographer with Spectrum News 13 were shot Wednesday afternoon while covering the shooting death of a woman Wednesday morning. The reporter died, and the photographer is in critical condition. Following the shooting of the news crew, the suspect shot a woman and her 9-year-old daughter, who died from her injuries. Police say the 19-year-old murder suspect has a lengthy criminal history. Keith Moses' criminal history dates back to 2018, when he was arrested as a juvenile for domestic violence. He's had over a dozen arrests since then, his most recent in 2021 for drug charges, which were dropped. When he was arrested Wednesday, he was seen smiling for the cameras. Tayshia Stevens reporting.
Stocks holding on to modest gains on Wall Street this hour. Right now, the Dow is up 20 points, the NASDAQ ahead 9, the S&P 8 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
From the creators of I Can Only Imagine comes Jesus Revolution.
If you look a little deeper, if you look with love, you'll see an entire generation searching for all the right things, just in all the wrong places.
Based on a true revolution.
You're going to need a bigger church.
Jesus Revolution. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. See it early February 22nd. In theaters everywhere beginning February 24th. Go to JesusRevolution.movie.
America is giving away its inventions and technology to China.
The Chinese Communist Party intends to surpass us and to be the world leader in innovative technology.
The shocking new movie, Innovation Race, exposes the potential Chinese takeover of 5G and the Internet, threatening America's economic and military security.
Dominating technology means you dominate the world itself.
Watch the movie, Innovation Race, now on demand or DVD at SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
An attempted murder investigation underway after an off-duty police officer was shot in Northern Ireland. The BBC's Emma Barty in Belfast.
John Caldwell has been the lead officer on a number of high-profile cases in Northern Ireland, including investigations into dissident Republicans and criminal gangs. The shooting happened at a sports complex in Omagh at around 8 o'clock last night as he was putting footballs into the boot of the car. Mr. Caldwell managed to run a short distance before falling to the ground. The two gunmen continued to fire at him. Police are linking dissident Republican paramilitaries with the attack. It has been condemned by local political leaders as despicable and cowardly.
Palestinian terrorists in Gaza launched rockets at southern Israel, and Israeli aircraft struck targets in the coastal enclave early today after a gunfight triggered by an Israeli raid in the West Bank killed 10 Palestinians. News and analysis at townhall.com. Norfolk Southern has become the third major freight railroad offering some of its employees paid sick time.
It announced a deal Wednesday with one of its unions in response to workers' quality of life complaints that arose during contract negotiations. The agreement to provide about 3,000 track maintenance workers with 4 days of paid sick time a year offers some positive news for the railroad, as it works to clean up the mess after its fiery derailment in Ohio earlier this month. A union spokesman says the sick time will be especially welcome to the workers who are rebuilding the tracks after the derailment. The deal is along the same lines as one CSX and Union Pacific announced earlier this month. Keith Peters reporting.
Tomorrow marks the anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Europe's biggest conflict since World War II. It shows no signs of ending as Putin's forces push to capture Ukraine's eastern industrial heartland. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Box. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Trish Clark and Carl Bach. Thursday, the 23rd of February, 8:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, Caring Compassion Community. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. Good morning, Trish.
Good morning, Carl. It's 34 degrees in downtown Reading. We've got a wind advisory and a winter storm warning. A chance of showers before 10 a.m. this morning, then rain and snow showers between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., and then rain showers after 3 p.m. Some thunder is also possible. High near 45. Some winds up to 21 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is 80%. I'm hoping that that's mostly rain and it's just not going to do all that for, with all that snow down here where we really don't need it. But be prepared. Friday night we're looking at frost, a low of 30, a high of 45 during the day, and rain and snow likely, and a chance of rain and snow throughout the day. Then on Saturday, sunny, a high of 58. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 36. And on Sunday, showers are likely, high of 45 and a low of 35. And on Monday, a high of 46 and a low of 33. And showers are likely throughout that one period. So you're going to get a break on Saturday. But all through next week, we're looking at rain and clear next Tuesday, snow showers. And I hope that snow is just in their imagination down in the valley.
Well, you just talked to Baron Brownett, right?
Yes, and he's over in I just got a post from Baron, and he's got a base camp set up over in Eureka, and they've got snow over there. First time in the 20 years that they've got collectible snow over on there. And
here it comes.
Here it comes. So be prepared. And you know, I guess probably if you're going to say anything to anybody, if you don't need to be out there in that weather and don't need to be on the road and you don't have the proper vehicle, stay home. Because there's a lot of people out there thinking they know how to drive and they don't. And those roads get slick and it gets real scary. Specifically from someone, I was born and raised in the snow. So I really do know how to drive in it and what to do. And you all just scare me to death. You don't know what you're doing in that snow. They don't slow down. They come screeching around you and it makes me crazy. The weather is always is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Okay. And just in case, you know, there's all-wheel drives on cars.
Yeah.
A lot of cars have all-wheel drives. Let me tell you, all-wheel drives are nothing close to four-wheel drives.
No.
Just so you know that. Hey, our guest today is Reading Mayor Michael DeQuisto.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well. I parked my car right in front of your window in case a parking meter person comes around.
Well.
But it doesn't start till 9 o'clock, so I think I'm...
It starts at 8, buddy.
I thought the sign said 9.
I think it says 8.
I thought it was supposed to be 9, too.
But yeah. Well,
Trisha's car is right in front of mine, so if I get one, she'll get one.
That leads me into my first question.
You can only ask easy questions today, Carl.
Yeah. What in the hell were you thinking about, was the city council thinking about with this parking plan?
Well.
Was that easy?
We'll start with, I voted no
I know.
When it came to do
I
it. And I said that it ought to just be free. And leave it the way it was. And if it costs some money out of the general fund, it costs some money out of the general fund. I look at that and all these problems that come up, and I go, well, what do you want from me? I voted no. But I think what the city's view was is they're trying to they consider it progress, and they've been working on it for a while with studies mm-hmm. and plans and this and that. And it's like anything else, and until people get used to it, it's going to take some getting used to.
Well, it's like anything. I know that you can, there's a variety of ways to pay, but you can't put, like, dollars in. It's got to be coins, or it's got to be your debit card, or your credit card, or some kind of pay
app on your phone.
Pay app on your phone. One of my people tried to use the pay app.
Yeah.
Out here, not on the street, but on the parking lot, you know, out here, which is now falls under that.
Right.
And it wouldn't take it. So he had to pay, go over there and pay, and then come back because they have.
And it won't take bills, so you got to have quarters.
No, you can just put if you have a card, you put that in there. Now it worked on the streets. The app worked on the streets, but just not.
It didn't work in that one lot.
In that one lot, but I don't know how many other lots are on there.
It could be, for instance, I think we leased 20 or 30 machines, and those machines are probably have Wi-Fi in them where you can connect your app to it in some mm-hmm. fashion. And depending where the machine is and how the Wi-Fi connects or your...
Think that would be one of the things that they would check then before they put it in was, is there a good Wi-Fi signal here?
Well, the city's answer is that it's a work in progress and it'll be reevaluated in 30, 60, or 90 days. So hopefully it will. Okay. Hopefully it will, and at that time it'll probably be as exciting as short-term rentals.
We have... I'm not going to ask about that until later. Liam? We have a long time listener, second time caller. Wow. Liam.
where's the additional funding, money that's going to be coming in from these parking things? Where's that going?
I could be cute and say the money tree in the back of City Hall, but basically it's going to be the monthly permits that get paid for and the money that's collected from enforcement.
Well,
which I looked at and said, basically, it's a make work job that we hired one parking. I think we hired one parking enforcement officer, and
who should not be hated, by the way, people.
No,
do not give him a bad time.
No, he's doing his job.
It's like a policeman,
and so you shouldn't. He's
or
just
a fireman.
He's the point man or point person, and it's not fair to take out your anger on him.
No,
but one way to avoid that is have him dressed like Batman. So when he jumps out and he's checking, you know, at least it's a little bit of humor. People want their pictures taken with them, you know, that kind of thing as he's driving around.
If I could make a suggestion, I know that one town I lived in, because you got one person working, obviously he is not going to be able to patrol on a regular basis all of the lots and areas. I would hope that he does every area and doesn't pick a few favorites that are easy to ticket.
So, like shooting fish in a barrel?
Exactly. Well, you find an area where people abuse it all the time, and so you just concentrate there. That's kind of really irritating if you own a business near there or, I'm going to get hit every time, and yet I can park. There was an incident a while back with parking meters down, actually by the post office, many years ago, where we were getting spotted over by the courthouse on a regular basis. I mean, you could park your car, I would get a parking ticket behind the Superior Title Company building if I parked my car on the street, ran in to get a paper, and came back out within 5 minutes, I would get a ticket. There was a dead body parked next to the post office for 3 days at a parking meter that did not get ticketed. That was, targeted enforcement.
I like your idea. I think, though, that having parking meters, helps take care of the streets and all of this. But the enforcement wasn't there.
Well, so what you could do, I don't necessarily have a problem with saying it's two-hour parking in some places and all-day parking in some places.
Yeah.
And let somebody come and enforce it, but just don't make them pay to park. Because the rationale given was, well, downtown businesses say someone parks in front of their business, they leave the car all day long, and I lose customers. And I said, well, which businesses, and give me some statistics. They didn't have any. It was all anecdotal. And I said, well, what about the people that don't go downtown because they have to pay to park and don't frequent the business because they can get the same thing on the other side of town and not have to pay? I said, how much business are they losing? So you could argue either side of the coin for depending on which way you want to go. And, I think it was a relatively small amount. And if they want to enforce it but not put the meters up, not make you pay, you'll learn if you park in some place and you get a ticket 3 days in a row that somebody's watching, and next time you'll pay attention to the rules.
Like right in front of us, in front of our building right here, there's a number of businesses. And I've seen cars parked there before for the whole day. And I can see that. You know, you come by you take a shot, you know, take a snapshot of the car, and you come by 2 hours later, they're still there. You give them a ticket. I understand it, but the other thing was, even with the meters out here, nobody ever enforced it.
No.
Occasionally, once a year maybe, you'd see people getting tickets. Terry, good morning.
Yeah, I think that people need a clarity on how that parking situation works. We keep talking about whether it's good or bad or not, but nobody even knows what the parameters are, one. And two, I know when I talked to Mark Mazzano, he said the businesses wanted it to protect the front of their stores so that homeless people wouldn't park there in front. That's what he told me. And I'm thinking, what? So I said, why don't you go in some businesses? So he goes into some businesses, and then we have another conversation. He said, well, the businesses aren't very happy. And the scenario with the first plan that you guys put out, if I have 4 kids and I come downtown and my wife wants to do a little shopping and we want to get something to eat and we want to get some yogurt, and all of a sudden we've been there past 2 hours, we walk out in the city of Reading, which we really think is nice, and we have a ticket because we didn't move our car in 2 hours. I mean, I'm trying to, and finally, Mazzano comes out with, oh gosh, you know, this probably was a really good idea. That business owner was really mad, and it's a restaurant right on Market Street.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
There's a whole row of stores. I mean, are we trying to deter people from coming to town? Or maybe someone could take the time to explain to the people exactly how this whole thing works.
Okay, Terry.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We'll let you give your answer when we come back.
Okay.
This portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. If you're not getting treatment for work-related injuries because of a denial, these can be life-changing injuries, but you're not getting the treatment you need, give Patrick Gorman a call at 530-262-2168. He is truly an expert when it comes to workers' compensation. He worked for the insurance companies a couple years, didn't like that, and so he is taken to the other side of protecting those who are not getting the treatment they need. If you want somebody that's going to fight for you, that's Patrick Gorman. Give him a call, 530-262-2168. We'll be right back with Mayor Michael DeQuista.
Shasta Beam is happy to announce that we have finally added 10 gigabits of new bandwidth services for our North State customers. Hi folks, this is Andy Main from Shasta Beam Wireless Internet bringing you news about our upgraded internet services. It took some time, but these new higher speeds mean you can work, study, and stream at home without the problems of slow internet. And these redundant services are faster, more reliable, and fulfilling our promise to deliver better internet every day. And right now, new customers get installed for free. That's right. Free installation services mean you can try it for free, and if you're not satisfied, you don't pay. That's a savings of over $700 compared to some of our competitors' startup costs. And there are no data caps or long-term contracts. All of our services come with a 14-day money-back guarantee. Call ShastaBeam today and ask for our free installation services. This is Andy Main, thanking you for your business, and don't worry, we'll keep the internet on for you.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including 2 crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout, or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community.
I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or launch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Good morning, everybody. It's Thursday, the 23rd. You're just getting up right now. Congratulations.
Yes.
How much your job? 8:20 in the morning.
It's a good time of day to get up.
Yeah. Thinking about purchasing an electric car, Reading Electric Utility has rebates available that can help offset the cost of your vehicle and charging stations. It's not just cars, it's trucks, but also electric bikes. Visit cityofreading.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. Trish and I are here with Mayor Michael DeQuisto. We're talking the parking meter situation. Now, the parking meters are set to collect enough money to, I mean, it's not like it's going to help repair streets or anything.
No,
right?
My understanding is the projections for the program were that there would be enough revenue collected to pay for the enforcement officer, to pay for the lease of the 20 or 30 meter stations that we got from some company, and to possibly do whatever maintenance needs to be done to the parking lots. And that was it.
Parking lots. Okay.
That was the goal.
Right.
What it comes out to that is a work in progress, because they may say, at $1 an hour, we're not getting enough money in, we don't sell enough monthly permits. Who the hell knows what they're going to come back and say, and maybe they'll make it 50 cents. I mean, that's one reason why I said it was free. It's a big conundrum and a big fight over essentially nothing,
because you've created a job and worked and made to and then come up with the revenue source to pay for it, but you haven't changed anything.
I don't
other
see
than
how
make it very difficult for people, and it was already difficult to park downtown.
I agree. I don't see how it makes it any easier for the businesses downtown. If your goal is to promote downtown, free parking is a better promotion than paid parking. I mean, just think of it. Would you rather go somewhere where you could park for free, like the other side of town, or would you rather go somewhere where we got to pay to park?
There you go.
And that's the other thing, too, because you go across the river, it's all free at the mall and all these other places.
Just wait. If it works downtown, you watch how they decide to expand it.
Well,
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
It would be. I would think it would be difficult to in your shopping centers and most of the businesses to, well, I don't know. I suppose you could put metered parking all around through
go to a place like that. Old Town Albuquerque, hundreds of thousands of tourists come through. Their parking, they have little parking lots spread all over the place, and you go in and you pay $5 mm-hmm. to park there, matter how long you stay.
And in most of those areas, then they have a shuttle that when you park this obscene away from where you want to go shopping, they have a shuttle that you can ride get to the downtown area.
The city tried a shuttle during the construction. We paid for some electric fancy golf cart with 4, 5, or 6, or 8 seats in it, and this and that. And nobody used it. So we got rid of it. The program's no longer in effect. So it's hard enough to convince people they have to pay for parking and change their routine. Now you want them to take a shuttle. So it's like, I got to go park, I got to pay, I got to wait for the bus to come pick me up and take me where I'm going to go. Is it going to take me to right where I want to go, or am I going to have to walk again? Is it easier just to walk on its own? And I mean, I don't like it.
The other issue, and I guess probably me, I see this because there is a certain portion of our population, a good portion of it, that's elderly. And when you get past a certain age, it's difficult to walk 5 or 6 or 7 yeah. blocks.
Well, I do believe that, I'm not an expert, but I think if you have a handicap license plate, you can park anywhere and it doesn't cost you anything, even in a regular spot. It doesn't have to be handicap designated as long as you have the on your license plate or one of those
stickers,
the placard that hangs from
your
window.
But you can, you don't necessarily need to be totally disabled and have a placard to not be able to walk.
No, I get it.
I'm just saying.
I get it. Well, now that we've solved the parking problem.
Well, and
we have,
probably
I have one other point here is before we move on. What you've done, the city has effectively done to anybody that works down here, you've taken $1 an hour off their pay. So if they're if they're making 18, 20, 19, 20 bucks an hour, you've just cut their pay $1 an hour. Because of these parking meters.
So maybe they're not even making minimum wage.
And then you can say, well, we have those parking passes, but there was only 150 or 60?
Not as many. I mean, just the county alone estimated they had 500 employees it was going
to affect. So Michelle, who you were just talking to, took $1 an hour cut in her pay when she's working here for me. I mean, you all get free parking, so down at the city. So, you know, that is something that should have been looked at. What is the impact on people who have, you know, have jobs down here, have had jobs for years down here? Now they're making $8 a day less or more less.
Completely fair question, and I don't recall that particular issue being brought up in anything that came to the council.
Because that's a direct economic impact on the people that work here.
No, I agree. I'm not arguing
either with you. Issue 1,000 or, you know, parking passes. So anybody that works down here says, hey, I work here at this business. I need a parking pass.
Well, maybe the garage that K2 runs or whoever does that would be interested in leasing out some spaces for monthly passes. I don't know. But
No. You know what? They shouldn't have to. They are a private business.
That's costing a minimum wage worker $2,100
a year.
A year.
Yeah.
I voted no.
I know.
These are things that we trust that our city council is going to look at the whole thing. And I know you voted no. But the others, I mean, this you say it didn't even come up. Ding.
Well, I would point out one other thing. You have, as you indicate, 500 county employees. Some of those work at the county administrative building. Some of them work at buildings that are owned by the county.
Or leased, but they work all.
A lot of them are in leased space, and is the county probably not going to look at maybe putting some of their employees in some different buildings that are not subject to this parking area?
There have been discussions between the city and the county that have involved just that.
I would think so. Option.
It's going to cost the
county.
I'm
looking at Rayleigh's and some of those buildings outside.
Or some down by Park Marina.
Yeah.
According to Pat Minturn, it was going to cost the county $1 million a year, and you know, for their employees, you know, and parking and all that. And now they're going to have to take a look at
those
places,
buildings
places
that are leased
that are cheaper.
Yeah, that have parking.
Because you've just
no, I agree.
They've just bumped the cost per square foot up to the point where they need to look someplace else.
Yep.
Okay. Let's take a
just
break,
beat that
and we will. Yeah, we. Well, you know what? But these are questions
well,
that
it's
people
important
have.
No, it is important, and they're all perfectly fair questions. And I would say that you should send those questions to everybody in the council and see if you get answers from the group that opposed me. That differed in the way that I saw things. They
there
didn't oppose me. They differed in the way that I saw things.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by River Common Senior Living, not an assisted living facility. It's for active seniors. It is Northern California's premier retirement community. Beautiful accommodations there. Really, really nice. A gourmet chef that provides 3 super meals a day. They're pet friendly. Yeah, you can have 2 pets at River Common Senior Living. And now they have a new moderate income program. All the same benefits, but for people who have more of a moderate income. So answer any questions, go for a tour, have lunch, give Brian Martin a call at 530-221-2121 and see if this is the next step in your life. You know, you're downsizing, but you want to live in a place, nice place. You don't have to worry about, you know, plumbing or anything else. River Common Senior Living. Worry less, smile more. We'll be right back.
50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can pay it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hopper takes over your commercial, the hop with the hop. Where the apps are the coolest and the music is the soonest with the hop. All the cats and chicks can get their kids with the hop. Let's go!
Thank you for calling B&T Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH. Hi, this is Doug Tooley. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only DISH Premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
When Black Bear Diner first opened, they filled the largest platters they could find. Not much has changed. Their legacy of huge portions continues today. And they just introduced new diner deals. 6 new dinner combos and new home-style side choices. Baby back ribs and tri-tip, chicken strips and tri-tip, chicken Alfredo, chicken and pesto, ribs and shrimp, and cod and shrimp. There is always plenty for your paws at Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive or order online at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Hey there, friends. This is RC from Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar is Sin Compromiso Selección No. 2. This is one of the very best in our treasury of cigars. Made without compromise, this wonderfully crafted torpedo took years of experimenting using Japanese farming techniques. The result is a truly unique and complex smoke. Each cigar is gently soft-pressed and sleeved in Spanish cedar and available in very limited supply. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
On display now at Turtle Bay Museum, Honor, Courage, Commitment, Marine Corps Art, 1975 through 2018, featuring 36 art pieces created by Marine combat artists who documented their own experience in times of war and peace. This traveling museum exhibition is sponsored by the Marine Corps Heritage Foundation from the National Museum of the Marine Corps, open now through April 30th. Honor, Courage, Commitment, Marine Corps Art at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Chris Clark and Carl Bott. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue, across the parking lot from Lucky Miller's. This is the place to get your haircut. I've never had a bad haircut there, and it's been a long time. It's a veteran-owned business. They do give you discounts for seniors and veterans. They work by appointment, so you can make it work on your schedule. No waiting. Give them a call at 530-244-9478. And remember, man's last stronghold. It's not a hair salon. It's a barber shop. Trish Clark and I are here with Mike DeQuisto, mayor of Redding.
It's wonderful being the mayor. You get to sign all the paperwork.
Yeah.
See, but you know, the title of mayor is people are impressed by that.
Yeah, I know they are.
It's funny because you can tell them you're the chairman of the board of supervisors, and they could pound sand. They don't care. But when you can say you're the mayor, people, that's a prestigious title.
They think the mayor's a separately elected position and you run the city. Yeah, exactly. And you don't really. You run the meetings and make a few appointments and sign a bunch of papers.
And that's it. Now, unfortunately, some mayors don't get that. And they think they have extra power.
Well, Tuesday night at the city council meeting, let's get back on track here.
Okay.
The Reading Rodeo Association made a presentation about the Reading Rodeo. And it's 75th year here in, yes. in our city. The economic impact it has in our city yearly. And
you, I think they said $8 to $10 million.
$8 to $10 million every year. Plus the fact that it is, you know, the ambiance of a Western town and all that, and it's very, very, very well received. So
it's a tradition.
It is a tradition, and it's a tradition that cost the city nothing because the Reading Rodeo Association does all the work down there.
Correct.
Doesn't ask the city for money.
Correct.
Paying for the lights that we need new lights. So, you know, the city put them in, but we're paying for them. And you brought up the fact that we only have a 3-year lease. And without a longer lease, you can't borrow, you can't get the money to make capital improvements, which the Reading Rodeo Association, and I'll just say I'm a member of the association, so I know how it works, would love to expand, make it better. I say expand. Expand the
facilities.
Well, not making it bigger, but improving it. And you brought up, well, what we need to give you a longer lease.
Well, I asked the presenter what the city could do help. I said, what can we do to try to help the rodeo with whatever you want?
Yeah.
And she had a couple ideas, but the big one, and I don't know if I suggested or she suggested, I said, wouldn't a long-term lease help? And she said, yes, definitely. We only have 3 years left on our 5-year lease or a very short time. And the reason is if they want to make capital improvements, they can't get financing unless they have the right to stay where they are, either owning the property outright, where they give a mortgage against it as security, or having a long-term lease where you could give a mortgage and they know you're going to be there. And so I said there's an item 12 at the end of the calendar every meeting where council members can say, hey, why don't we discuss X at the next meeting? And if three of the council members say we're interested in doing it, then they'll prepare an agenda item and they'll put it on a future meeting. So I told the people at the rodeo after the presentation, I said, I'm going to make a motion under item 12 to have the long-term lease come back and see if the council wants to do it. So I did. I made that motion. At the end of the meeting, there was hardly a few people stayed around, but most people had left. And unfortunately, the motion went down 3-2. I voted in favor of having it come back. Council member Mazzano voted in favor of having it come back. Ms. Winter voted no. Ms. Audette voted no. And Jack Munns voted no. And the reasons that they gave, you can listen to the meeting, but in essence were, well, we're working on this riverfront specific plan and we don't want to mess up the plan. Well, frankly, that's a lot of BS. The city council can enter into a long-term lease. We just entered into a 10-year lease with Advance Reading from Bethel for the Civic Center.
Which is part of the plan.
So you tell me which speaks louder, actions or words. It's one thing to say, oh, I support the rodeo, but I'm not going to do anything about a long-term lease. Well, I think that's wrong. I was outvoted, so I accept the decision, but I think it's wrong. And I'll tell you, I think it's unfortunate because I think it's part of a long-term process for someone other than the city to take over the convention center, the rodeo grounds, and some of the other area down there, and whether they put housing there or not. I mean, I ran on this, and I think this is an issue that's going to keep coming up over and over again, and I think that McConnell and K2 and those people are not going to give up. And I get it. I mean, I understand what they're doing. I don't blame them for doing it, but I don't think it's in the best interest of the citizens, and I don't think they want it. And one last thing.
Sure.
When I ran for election and I came in first by 3,000 votes over Ms. Audette. And that was in a 10-person field. And I think that's an indication that many people in Reading like what I have to say and like my view of the world. And so it's unfortunate that I don't have a majority on the council for most of the things I want. But I'll keep trying.
Well, here's the thing is the vast majority of the people in Reading want that rodeo. to stay.
Yeah.
And flourish. And, you know, with a long-term lease, it allows the Reading Rodeo Association to put in more events. That brings more people in, that it could be used on a monthly basis instead of, you know, once, you know, maybe three times a year. But we need, that long-term lease to be able to do things. New bleachers. You know, it doesn't mean that Reading Rodeo, you know, arena is gonna expand 100.
No,
the footprint's not gonna get any bigger, but we can enhance it so people can enjoy it more. Imagine sitting in bleacher type seats where you can kind of lean back or, you know.
By the way, you need backs on the seats in the studio.
That's for the older people who are there. Okay. We'll be glad to let you use that.
Thank you.
Okay. The fact that they wouldn't even bring it up to be talked about, to let people come in and let the community have a say in this.
And that's glaring. In fact, just extended the lease for the group that runs the auditorium to
Bethel.
A 10-year lease.
Bethel.
Well, you can say it. I haven't said that yet, but yeah,
it's Bethel related. Well,
it is
because Bethel is the principal user of the Civic Auditorium.
Exactly, and so. I'm going to say they've done a good job.
They have
marketing it, running it. It's better used. It is
world class act
been
coming
in a long
through there.
Time.
Oh no,
absolutely.
But the point is that you're comparing.
You're saying, okay, we can't give it even entertain a longer term lease for this group, but we just did that for another group.
And one
that's
group is associated
hypocritical.
With that's well, that's
yeah.
yeah.
Unfortunately, and you don't want to say it, but I'll say it because I can say anything I want to on this radio.
Pretty much,
the three people that voted against it are the people that are connected with Bethel. That's kind of a sad thing.
That was Trish who said that, but
I'm just saying it.
But actions speak louder than words, and it's one thing to say that you support the rodeo, but when you're given an opportunity to actually do something that would support them. You vote no. That's a problem.
Well, and I want to go on though and say you have never heard me say anything against Bethel on this radio station, and I never have. My association with that organization has been very positive. The people I've dealt with and everything, but this is a topic of conversation in this community, and I believe that perception has a lot to do with how we live in our community, and the perception in this community by some people is that Bethel is trying to control some things within our organization.
There is that perception,
and unfortunately, I think that the city council needs to be aware of that in their voting and not put themselves in a position where they look like hypocrites. That was Trish Clark saying that.
You could certainly have the council members that voted no on the lease come on and explain why they voted no.
It would be interesting to hear that.
I will be more than happy to invite all three of them on, and I think we can have two of them in here at the same time. And that's
two at the same time, yeah.
Yeah, is legal. As Linda pointed out to two of our city council members that this is okay, but if the third one's here, I'm going to report you at lunch the other day.
She
did say that. Here's my thing. On this new updating of the plan that we're paying $1.2 million to the company, and I have no problem, by the way, I have no problem with the I think the riverfront needs to be developed. I would love to see a world-class event center there, but not at the expense of the river, the rodeo, and other organizations here. But does the city have the acumen, the ability to take this plan and make it work?
No, that's the other. So we had a vote on whether to spend the million two on the riverfront specific plan. And again, I voted no, and Mr. Mazzano voted no. We have other things to spend it on. And the same group of three voted yes, we should do it. And as I look at it, the issue is, so let's suppose you get a great plan. I don't have a problem with the plan, and the community does its input and does it. And if it costs money, it costs money. The only money that's available from the state and the feds is housing money. Currently, California thinks that to solve the homeless problem, we're going to build them all houses, and that's going to take care of it. I vehemently disagree with that approach, but that's where the money is. So the only practical money, if you want to develop it down there, is going to have to involve some kind of housing at that location, and I am adamantly opposed to that.
If the government...
Now,
going to
now
do
if you
now here's
if
a
private
if
enterprise
you,
wanted to do
city,
it, that would be different.
Here's
if
a possibility.
The city kept it, they could do it without the housing.
The city could, for instance, say for the convention center, we want to partner with somebody, and we'll enter into a partnership. So the city still owns it, but they're partners with someone who will put money in to develop it and run it.
And once 100-year lease.
No, you don't give them a lease or sale. You make a partnership agreement.
Oh, okay.
That way you avoid the surplus land issue and the housing issue. That's a possibility. So there are ways to look at the financing and do it, but nobody so far has come along to do that. I mean, they do a request for proposal to run the Civic, and Advanced Reading is the only one that responds. They're in a tough position. I think it's going to be a plan that's going to get put on the shelf, and nothing's going to happen with it.
Well, and then,
because they can't finance it.
And then that leads to the point after this, and it'll take a year for the plan to come.
A year or two.
So meanwhile, the rodeo's lease could theoretically run out.
Yep.
Then what happens? They get another.
Well, don't forget that the rodeo has been promised a seat at the table for all these discussions.
Well, no, I understand that, but if this thing is,
but if they don't have a lease down there, what happens to their seat?
It gets smaller and smaller.
So the decision is being kind of kicked down the road.
Yeah, that's what government does. But yeah,
and that's unfortunate.
We meant. You may hear that again today.
How far down the road have we just kicked it three times?
Yeah. Three-year lease just expired.
Oh, here goes the fourth year.
That's a small can.
That's right. Well, it's the biggest can we could find. All right, we got to take a break here. We'll be right back.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
Well, I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But the keeper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win.
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous Sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. I just want to remind everybody tonight, Man Up is on at 6 p.m. And we discuss issues that probably women need to listen to this show as much as men do. Tonight, I'm missing my wingman, Lighty, but I will have a couple other people in here, and we're going to discuss what are women looking for in men. So I may have to bring a woman in.
Yeah, how would you know that, Carl?
I wouldn't know that.
And who are your guests?
Hey, I've been married a couple of times. I know what they're not looking for. Okay.
It'll be a short or long conversation, depending.
It could be. Anyway, hey, we are here with Michael DeQuisto, Mayor of Reading, and, of course, Trish Clark. Short-term rentals came up Tuesday night.
Yeah, let me do one thing just before that.
Sure.
So when the soccer park was fixed, there was a $3 million loan from the Reading Electric Utility to the city to pay for $5 million worth of repairs.
That so, we were going to pay back,
so
or the city was.
That was 4 years ago. No payments have been made. It's come up to the council to be discussed three or four times till we're sick of it. So we had a budget meeting, and it came up again as to what are we going to do. And the council voted 3-2, and I don't need to tell you
who it was,
because it's the same as it always is, saying we're not going to pay it back, we're going to forgive the loan.
Oh, my gosh.
This is the soccer park that was not taken care of under the auspices of Kim Niemer. I'll just say it because she's the one
Correct.
In charge of all the parks, who just got a – just they extended the contract for
Big League Dreams.
Big League Dreams.
That's a whole other issue.
That's another issue. But so now that money will not be paid back.
It will not be paid back. And the – technical argument was, well, it's not ratepayer money. It was money from a settlement which came from energy trading. My argument is it's the job of REU to make as much money as possible for all of its ratepayers, irrespective of where it comes
so
from.
So that the cost remains low.
Correct. Yeah. And a loan is a loan. I don't understand where you get off saying it's a loan, but we're not going to pay it back. That's just wrong.
That's the Biden way for student loans.
Well, it's poor
and
fiscal
it was during a budget committee meeting that –
it was noticed,
but
nobody's going
to
show up.
No.
The reason that they needed $3.2 million for the soccer field was because they hadn't maintained it. They hadn't been paying, you know, the money in every month to maintain the soccer fields.
Correct.
And so then when it came up, boom, $3.2 million to fix it.
Correct.
Now.
Wait till Big League Dreams comes up and they... We signed a contract with the group running Big League Dreams where they owe about $180,000 in back rent, which was calculated. They actually provided the receipts, so there was a real number that was calculated, and they're going to pay it back over the next 10 months. And then they're also going to make capital improvements in quotes. And it's a kind of a loose situation. For instance, it says upgrade bathroom. So I asked Ms. Niemer, well, what does upgrade
new toilet
bathroom
paper
mean?
Holders?
Does it mean a new toilet paper holder? Does it mean a new toilet? I mean, because they
there's
could say
difference.
We upgraded it, and she said, well, we'll work it out. I'm in charge of it. I said, well, it ought to be as specific as
she
possible.
She said that specifically.
She said
I am in charge of this.
I said, who at the city is going to make the decision as to whether they're complying? And she says, I don't know if she said project manager, but the gist of it was going to be her ultimate responsibility. So I hope it works. I hope they fix it and do it the right way, but I'm not hopeful.
Okay, let's move to the short-term rentals.
Yes.
People from both sides showed up. there was a second part of it besides voting on it. It was appoint a committee to look at this question.
So
I'll,
this is
I'll what, let you have it.
This is what happened. When it first came up to the council essentially gave a half a dozen or a dozen points and said, we would like to see the following things in a proposed ordinance. And it limited distance, it limited ownership, it defined a bunch of other things.
There was a lot of things that were kind of strange.
There was a lot of things
yeah.
in there.
Yeah.
And that went to the Planning Commission, who basically said half of it they agreed with and half they didn't agree with in round terms. Part of the discussion at the Planning Commission was, well, we want some more input, mostly from the property managers, but from the other members of the public, like homeowners, especially
yeah.
the one who started it and who's smiling over there. But that's fine. It's a legitimate issue. So what the
I thought it was.
It is. What the council said was, we're going to take some more public input to try to come up with, to get more involved and make sure we can cover everybody's concerns. Here's the heart of the problem as I look at it. There's over 100 units that are not in compliance with the current regulations. It's the city's job to enforce that. At $1,100 a year for the yearly fee for running an Airbnb or VRBO or whatever you want to call it, times 100 units, that's enough to pay for somebody to enforce it. I don't know why they didn't just hire somebody and say, we'll give you 25%, we'll give you 50% of what you collect. Go have at it. This is your job. And do it. Because here's the – Carl volunteered. He doesn't want to be on the radio anymore. But here's the heart of the problem. If you don't enforce it, well, it's a short road.
Wait a minute. Hold that.
Keep just hold it for a second.
Keep your finger on the button.
The heart of the problem is if you don't enforce it, if you have three people that are bad and 100 people that are good,
yeah.
the bad ones make a bad reputation for everybody. And the answer, government's answer is, well, I can't enforce it because I don't have enough money to hire another enforcer, so I'm going to make some more rules. Well, the people that aren't following the rules to begin with are not going to follow new rules.
That's right.
And the people that are following the rules are going to say, why are you getting on my case? I'm following the rules. And so you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. But I think more enforcement is a better way to do it. And frankly, while I'm not in favor of raising the fees, if you have to raise the fees to hire somebody else to do more enforcement, that may be one that I go, yeah, you should go do this.
Well, the thing is that
what was the decision
think,
by the council?
I'll get to that in a second, but I think everybody agrees on the fact that a neighborhood has the right to, before the permit is given, to come in and talk about it. And the second
I think that's
thing,
right.
And the second thing, it seems like it's got everybody agrees in there should be a density
I
rule.
I think those things are right.
And those are the two things I brought up, and then the bureaucracy got a hold of it and made a 4-page ordinance.
Yeah.
And I can understand where the property managers are upset about it. I would be. But a density and have a right to say something first, that makes sense. So what happened?
So the council voted actually unanimously to create another committee and can push the button anytime you like. But it'll be a But it should be a short kick. It should be a short kick for a couple of months, and hopefully it'll come back in April. And then the council will ultimately get to decide whatever it is. And then there's a time frame for the ordinance to take effect. But sooner or later it'll get done at the speed of government.
Do you know, I have to tell you that I was an elected official in Shasta County for 20 years. I can still count on one hand the number of committees that I voted to form.
I know.
Any time that you don't want to make a decision on an elected board, you form a committee until it gets out of the public view.
That has been my experience in the past with the city. However, the city's committee is going to be city staff. That they're going to take the input, and then they're going to rewrite the ordinance based on input, and then bring it back to the city council for voting.
That's
so
correct.
It's not like you're going to have to get 12 citizens, put them on a committee.
No, and have a Brown Act and take 6 or 8 months.
Educate
no.
them.
No, we're not going to do that.
Okay.
We're not going to do that. I have one more request,
sure.
and I forgot to make it. During the rodeo presentation, it was said that they got a 99-year lease when they first started, and that was the first I had heard of it. And I asked Mr. Tippin if he knew anything about that, and he said, well, I don't know if they had one or not. The city has looked, and we can't find it. So I would ask any of your listeners or anybody at the association or maybe the Shasta Historical Society, if somebody has a copy of a lease or anything at all to show that, that would be very interesting, because under a 99-year lease, if it still was in effect, they got another 25 years.
Yeah, because it started in 48. So, yeah, they've got 25 more years there.
In essence.
And so it would behoove the Reading Rodeo Association and see if we can find that piece of paper.
Like a scavenger hunt.
There you go.
Because find a diamond
right
at the
now,
end.
Right now we're putting together a book for the 75th anniversary. And, I mean, we have got tons of information, you know, from when it started into, you know, to where we are now. We're going to build a coffee table type book that people can buy, and it's 75 years of Reading Rodeo. And that'll come out in the fall. But there's a lot of information out there. I was in the microfiche at the library for an hour. Maybe I was going to go for 2 hours, but it didn't work out. I'm not.
You didn't
want to
get
what.
A parking ticket.
No, it was. It was somebody came in and sat next to me.
Oh.
They had been out in the. You know.
Okay.
Anyway, we know. Okay, Mike DeQuisto, as usual. Thank you for being here. I know you're on the short end of 3-2 votes.
That's okay.
Many times.
Hey.
But it's better than 4-1.
Yeah, but you all did agree to form a committee for the short term rental.
Oh, that's correct. Well, that's a surprise. I didn't know that was coming in.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it very much.
You enjoyed it.
Hey, tomorrow, One Safe Place joins us, and everybody.